Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Curry on WVON AM 1690.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with partner Warriors Summit Coalition. October is Breast Cancer and National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and today is Saturday, October 31st, 2020. And our host is Cliff Kelly. I am the co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. And we have a special panelist with us today, Keyston Franklin, U.S. Army post 9/11 veteran, both active and Illinois National Guard, as a combat medic and human intelligence person. He is Vice President and COO of Warrior Summit Coalition. Keyston is a Florida native and stems from a family of civil servants. He actually now as a successful entrepreneur, philanthropist, Army veteran, and graduate student at the University of Chicago, wants to serve once again. This is time for giving back to his community through economic opportunity and empowerment through hemp and cannabis. Halo Cannabis has recently submitted applications in Illinois for adult use cannabis, dispensary, craft grower, and transporter licenses. Halo Holdings Group is currently expanding in Illinois and Florida operations in the hemp industry. It is so such an honor and pleasure to have you on this show. I was a combat veteran myself, so we probably crossed tracks. And once you said the intel side, I know you probably know Eli Williamson, one of my great friends.
I do, Dr. Yeah. He's a big brother to me, you know.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about this, about the veterans' ownership opportunities in the Illinois cannabis industry?
Yeah, so sure. Illinois has, you know, been very friendly for veterans holistically in general. With Illinois, you know, I guess passing legislation for cannabis sales and recreational front, that legislation was very favorable for social equity applicants, individuals affected by the war on drugs, as well as for veterans. There's some points given for individuals who served in service, who put in for ownership for these cannabis businesses, whether it be retail, dispensary, craft grow, and then transportation infusion as part of the state's initiative for veteran entrepreneurship to spur that. And they didn't leave veterans out in cannabis, which we're very excited about. But the thing that gets me is that there's so many job opportunities and then resources for veterans in the cannabis space. And, you know, everyone has this stigma originally when you say cannabis, marijuana, it's like, oh, goodness, you know, the drugs, the green, the ganja. But when we look at business and cannabis and the cannabis industry, there's over 500 types of jobs that veterans can partake of, or anyone looking at getting into the cannabis industry. You got accounting and finance, you have business development, you have cultivators, those individuals who are growing, manufacturing, marketing, just a slew of a whole shoe and gambit of jobs. Okay. And that's just in the cannabis space. That's not including the ancillary micro businesses.
Wow, that's incredible. So, you know, tell me something, because I remember like an old story that said that our money used to be made out of hemp, and I didn't see too many people trying to smoke their money. But what's the difference between hemp and cannabis?
Well, so I'm not the, you would say, the resident expert on cultivating hemp and cannabis, but I do know a little bit. So they're part of the same plant, the cannabis plant, except for hemp, it has less THC percentage in it, so it doesn't give you that hallucinogenic effect. There are a lot of uses for both THC and then the CBD or CBN, which are different cannabinoids in that that come from that plant for many uses for health and wellness. But hemp particularly, you have over 20-something thousand uses for hemp. You know, just as you mentioned, some of the paper, the Constitution was written on hemp. The painters used to have canvases that were made from hemp. There's, you know, hempcrete, all sorts of util and textile industrial applications for that plant.
Oh, great. Yeah. So the hemp has to be one of those things that we sort of look at from more of an agricultural perspective, right? Because we grow all kinds of crops. And, you know, Illinois, we grow a lot of corn. We grow other things. But this is also a new vista, you know, opening this up to a business opportunity. So how can people get involved with the business side of things as far as, you know, investments or how does that sort of roll out for them?
Well, the first thing, you know, looking at hemp as any other business, you want to do your research, educate yourself on the legislation, you know, that's been passed, the Farm Bill, Farm Bill enacted this past 2018, descheduling hemp and cannabis off of the national schedulation for drugs. So now it's a Schedule 2, I believe, which allows for anyone, private citizens, to apply and receive a hemp license to cultivate industrial hemp as well as to process and manufacture. So the first thing would be educating yourself on how to, you know, get those licenses within your state. Each state, even though it's nationally recognized or no longer illegal substance to cultivate and work with, each state has their own guidelines in which, you know, you must abide by. And from there, educating, you know, looking at your niche, your passion, and most likely there's going to be a hemp application that you can apply, whether it be the medical science, health and wellness aspect, the cultivating, the business, the individuals who want to wholesale and resell, distribute, transportation, and then, you know, look at the opportunities that are available, one, for business development, and then particularly for hemp. You know, some of the resources like the SBA, WBDC, those DCEO, USDA, some of the state-funded agencies that have programs for business development that are now shifting into cannabis and hemp space. Particularly for veterans, there's Farmers Veteran Coalition. You know, they're very supportive for farmers across the nation, and even particularly in Illinois for veterans who want to get into the farming industry. And it's not just, you know, you're thinking old school plow and tractor, an ox. A lot of the tractors are now electronic. You're looking at drones. Some of these equipment that veterans are using overseas and then here in the States, they're taking that skill set and then they're applying it to agricultural, you know, uses and needs for the citizens here. So
that's it. Really interesting.
Yeah,
because you know, you said a lot of great things there. Because one of the things I wanted to sort of focus on too is that you sort of made a distinction between CBD oil and the psychoactive components of marijuana.
Yeah.
So you know, this is a plant that may have multiple different applications, not just for people who want to get high and that kind of thing, you know, from the marijuana or the cannabis. And, people drink alcohol. We see, I'm a physician, so I've seen much more damage done to people's bodies with this alcohol thing, with alcoholism, and the combination of that with other drugs as well. I think this is something that's kind of exploratory, right? I mean, we're just starting to find out what are all the uses, right?
Yes, it's very new. There are a few universities and institutions who have been exploring hemp. While it was a scheduled drug, it was mostly in the pharmaceutical and universities, and their onus to publish these articles. There are a lot of articles at NIH as well on hemp. You got to really sift through it. But it's a new frontier. The health applications have either been lost or forgotten or just somewhere under a stack of papers, as we that we need to go out and dig and then apply it to, you know, some of the uses. I can talk specifically about myself. I'm not a doctor, but I did have some experiences, you know, within service and then, you know, just getting older. My body, four slip disc, you know, knee surgery, shoulder surgeries. You know, I was on lidocaine patches, you know, hydrocortisone, all sorts of things just to keep the body somewhat tolerable. And then about 2014, 2015, I was introduced by a Vietnam veteran, mentor of mine, And he's like, hey, you know, try CBD. And I was like, I don't know.
Right.
He's like, no, it's not going to get you high, anything like that. He's like, even if it did, you're taking all these other drugs. And so I tried CBD, and it was night and day, you know.
Wow.
You didn't get the groggy feeling. I felt a little bit, you know, better with my body. I didn't have to have a drink to relax myself. It felt, you know, more relaxed. So I can speak to me, you know, my own personal experience on that. But, and that's my passion. As soon as that happened to me in 2015, okay, I told every veteran, I was like, yo, you got to try CBD. You having, you know, issues, X, Y, Z, you know, check with your doctor, but you just give it a try. You'll find it. And I tell my experience, and it's been pretty much the same thing for some of the veterans. And so when we're looking at serving in the military, it doesn't end once you're done. You know, once you get back, it's sharing your knowledge. The veterans say, like, hey, you know what? You want to go to school? This is a place that has a good program that I entered into that I like. Or this job is hiring. I know that, you know, you want to do X, Y, and Z. We continue to share our knowledge and network and resources. This is a resource or a venue of opportunity that's you know, almost endless. Because there is so much research and development left to be done, there's so many applications, and then there's also so much support nationally, state, and even locally for individuals who want to help, you know, take on that burden and shoulder that responsibility to show what this plant can actually do, both in the health and wellness and on the industrial side and textile. You know, with, you know, this whole pandemic, there's been a huge exposure of some of the supply chains that we lack domestically. Hemp can fill some of those supply chains when it comes to textile, construction. We wouldn't have to import some of these things. It's a little bit even innovative. Some of the material, we can help with some of the garbage and recycling. I guess one example particularly is that industrial hemp, it pulls toxins out of our ground. You know, so for farmers who have issues with their crops or pesticides, or whatever, you plant a round of hemp, and then it pulls that toxins out. You can use those the biomass and the stock and the bark from the plant to make you know, plastic hemp plastic replaceables or any other, you know, hempcrete insulation, and it's relatively harmless. But now the crop for the farmer is cleaned and ready without the pesticides. Mm-hmm. You have another resource and raw material for building and, you know, all sorts of things.
Oh, that is fantastic. Really a lot of great applications you have there. You know, I'm wondering also, you know, because you mentioned one thing. It was about moving from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 2 drug. And that is so critically important because, you know, as physicians, we carry a DEA license. So we have one that's on the state level, and then we have one that's at the federal level. And some those two things are out of, you know, out of sorts because if it's a Schedule 1, then it really is something that you can't use, right? So a Schedule 2 movement is really, really important. So has that been going through, or how what's the position of that now?
Well, for hemp, it's a Schedule 2.
Right,
so it allows for you know, private citizens to grow as well as some of the institutions to continue to do so and still receive, you know, some of their federal grants. On cannabis, it's still at the state level, so hasn't been nationally, you know, moved to a Schedule 2. There are a lot of organizations pushing for that, with the hemp, it's literally been a like an egg has been cracked, and everyone's making their most favorite omelet or making all sorts of omelets with the flexibility to do that. But were you speaking of the cannabis or just hemp?
Yeah, right, the cannabis more so because what we do is, you know, now we actually even on the, you know, on the state level, we'll give you know, prescriptions for cannabis for people who have PTSD and you know, so there's a medical use for marijuana. For glaucoma, those kinds of things, those conditions. And it's still out of sorts with federal law. So I think it's really interesting because that one battle that you just mentioned, that battleground, is really talking about the decriminalization of the use of marijuana, of cannabis, and actually the hemp is already in that category two, as you were mentioning, Schedule Two. But that decriminalization, it looks like we have the issue of people who who are out there right now, who are in the enterprises, and it was looked upon as being a really criminal enterprise in our communities. And now, all of a sudden, it's really an entrepreneurial category. So, so we can actually do this legitimately and legally, working with the hemp and that kind of thing, and, on the state level with the marijuana. So, I think this is an opportunity for us to get away from this prison industrial complex as well, and to get people who are in the community involved in a legitimate business, right?
No, I agree. And, with that, with the state of Illinois, it's got to be equitable,
Yes.
So
yes.
There are 33 states that have some sort of legislation or stance on cannabis, whether they're doing medical, recreational, or both. And Illinois has the opportunity to, once again, as they are leaders in the veteran support, they can be leaders in getting it right for legislation in cannabis and making it equitable, making it inclusive. Some of the other states, just as much as Illinois was initially on their medical round, the barrier of entry into the cannabis industry, a lot of folks who were affected by the war on drugs, you could not enter because of the capital contribution and the immense amount of resources you need to stand up that business. And, now with the legislation that passed last year, allowing for social equity applicants, providing to apply for those licenses, and then also providing them with resources to stand up, help stand up their businesses through state funding or local organization, or even some of the folks who started, their cannabis business in 2014, 2015 in Illinois, giving back to those communities to build up community. That's the path, but it has to be done right. You got to get more folks in that were outside initially because of either capital or criminal records that prohibited them from that entry.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah, so tell us, where can people go for more information? We're sort of running low on time, but we have to have you back again. And we're going to have a big celebration when you get that degree from the University of Chicago. So get ready for that.
It's been a long time coming. I'll be sure to send it to my job. But yeah, if you want to get more information, you can look at www.thehalobrand.com. That's Halo Cannabis. That's our website. We have a lot of information out there for all the licenses that are eligible for Illinois. Also, there's another organization I sit the board's treasury for, SEEM. It's Social Equity Empowerment Network, and it's comprised of social equity applicants, approximately about 400 social equity applicants who apply for this Illinois round and dispensary, craft grow, infusion, and transportation. And the core of the business of SEEM is to build those businesses with support and resources. So that's Social Equity Empowered Network.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. We are so honored to have you, Keyston. We will be looking forward to seeing you again. And again, once you graduate, we're going to have a party for you.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
Okay. And thank you for your service to the country as well. Very well done. Okay, we're going to be moving on to a commercial break now, and we will want you to stay exactly where you are. Tune into this station. We will be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Hey Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Sister Soldier, proud partner of She Voices on America's Heroes Group. She serves, she matters, where your change becomes empowered. Also, watch me on the web at SheVetInspires.com or YouTube. Remember, I'm every woman because I am just like you.
Service Women Who Serve is proud to partner with Cliff Kelly and the American Heroes Group as an influencer of social change through advocacy, activism, and examination of legacy for military and veterans. We stand as paradigm-shifting thought leaders, believing social justice is grounded in hope.